week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the July 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. Kenya's 1500 meters world champion Timothy Cheruiyot is back on the track and looking forward to some top-notch international competition. In an interview with Reuters in Nairobi, Timothy says he's targeting a Diamond League meet in Monaco next month.
My focus now is on 14 acres, Monaco, Diamond League. So my focus is to be there and compete to run at least my personal best.
Coincidentally, Timothy's personal best in the 1500 meters was set 2 years ago in Monaco, where he clocked 3 minutes and 28.41 seconds. The coronavirus pandemic disrupted Cheruiyot's 2020 plans, which included preparing for the Olympics. Timothy and his teammates were forced to break their camp at Rangai Athletics Club, located on the outskirts of Nairobi, for 3 months. The club's head coach, Bernard Ouma, says his athletes only recently resumed training.
So far, there are about 5 events on standby, but there are chances and possibilities of them picking up, and again, there are high chances equally of them being cancelled. So the year 2020 is more of survival, is more of setting a different routine, which is called the new normal.
The new normal in world athletics during this pandemic year has seen the cancellation or postponement of many events. Timothy Cheruiyot talks about the challenges he's faced during the COVID-19 lockdown.
I've had many challenges because I miss racing. Always getting contacting with friends at abroad, running together, having fun outside. So it was a lot of challenges, but in other ways, we get time to gather with our families.
Meanwhile, the Sunny Side of Sports remembers Ben Jipko, Kenya's 1972 Olympic silver medalist in the 3,000 meters steeplechase. Jipko died of multiple organ failure on July 24th in Eldoret, Kenya, an area that's produced some of Kenya's greatest runners. He was 77. In a post on the government's Facebook page, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta described Ben Jipko as a pioneer athlete who helped cement Kenya's profile on the international stage as a top athletics nation. Ben Jipko began his running career in the mid-1960s and rose to prominence in the 1968 Olympic 1500 meters final in Mexico City. Jipko acted as the pacemaker for his teammate Kip Kano, who went on to win the gold medal over American Jim Ryan. Jipko returned to the Olympic stage 4 years later and again in the same race with Kip Kano, this time the 3,000-meter steeplechase. Kip Kano won the gold and Ben Jipko got the silver. Ben Jipko's best international performances came at the 1974 Commonwealth Games in Christchurch, New Zealand, where he won gold medals in the steeplechase and at 5,000 meters, and a bronze medal in the 1,500 meters. Also paying tribute was Paul Turgat, the president of the National Olympic Committee of Kenya. Turgat said, and I quote, "We are saddened by the loss of Jipko, a pioneer of athletics in Kenya. My heartfelt condolences to his family and Kenyans at large."
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Turgat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America! message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I mentioned Jim Ryan finishing runner-up to Kip Kano in the 1500 meters at the 1968 Olympics. The 73-year-old Ryan would go on to run for political office, and he represented the state of Kansas as a Republican congressman from 1996 to 2007. Here in Washington, Ryan recently received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Trump. Let's go to the White House now for the ceremony.
Jim Ryan is a world-class athlete and a highly respected former member of Congress. As one of the best middle distance runners of all time, he is the last American to hold the world record in the mile run. He proudly represented the United States at the 1968 Summer Olympics, earning a silver medal in the 1500 meter race. Following his success on the track, Mr. Ryan channeled his patriotism into a noble career in public service, representing the 2nd Congressional District of Kansas for more than a decade, distinguishing himself as a principled conservative. The United States proudly recognizes Jim Ryan for his meritorious contributions to our nation.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, and today is my privilege to present our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, to a legendary athlete and a legendary runner, Olympian and true American patriot, former Congressman Jim Ryan. Jim, congratulations. Fantastic.
President Trump awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to former Olympian and former U.S. Congressman Jim Ryan. Douglas Mpuga joins us now with more sports news. And Douglas says a top Kenyan athlete is facing disciplinary action.
Former world 1500 meters champion Elijah Manangoi has been provisionally suspended over an alleged whereabouts failure. The 27-year-old Kenyan won gold at the 2017 World Championships in London. He also won a silver in Beijing 2 years earlier. Manangoi is one of 4 Kenyan athletes who the Athletics Integrity Unit, AIU, announced on Thursday had been suspended or provisionally suspended pending a full hearing. Under anti-doping regulations, athletes have to inform testing authorities of their whereabouts for a one-hour window of every day. 3 failures in 12 months, not being present at the said time, or filing inaccurate or incomplete information counts as 1 failure and leads to an automatic ban. Patrick Salem was also provisionally suspended for allegedly evading, refusing, or failing to submit for a sample collection. Sele is a long-distance athlete. Marcy Kibarus was banned for 8 years after testing positive for an anabolic steroid, a second doping offense within a 10-year time frame. And Kenneth Kipkemoi was also suspended for 2 years after testing positive for tibeline. In boxing, former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson will return to the boxing ring for an exhibition fight against ex-4-weight world champion Roy Jones Jr. The fight is scheduled to take place on September 12th in Los Angeles. 54-year-old Tyson last fought professionally in 2005 when he was beaten by Irishman Kevin McBride in what was his sixth loss in 58 career fights. Fellow American Jones, who is 51, has not fought since beating Scott Sigmund in February of 2018. The fight will be 8 rounds and will be broadcast on pay-per-view. Tyson became the youngest ever world heavyweight champion at age 20 when he knocked out Trevor Burbick in 1986. Jones Jr., during his career, claimed world titles at middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight. And in African football, Sierra Leone top flight has been cancelled due to COVID-19. The decision to annul the 2019-2020 football season was unanimously taken by the Premier League Board in consultation with the Sierra Leone Football Association at a meeting held on July 15th in Freetown. The meeting resolved to cancel the entire season with no champions declared and with the same teams for next season. Finally, the Confederation of African Football Disciplinary Board met last week to discuss incidents from the CAF Champions League 2019-2020 quarterfinal second leg between TP Mazembe of DR Congo and Raja Club Athletic of Morocco held in March in Lubumbashi. The board decided to impose a fine of $10,000 on Raja Club for unfortunate behavior of their players, which resulted in the incitement of the TP Mazembe spectators. The board lifted the provision of suspension on Ilyas Sadat, but cautioned him for his unsporting behavior. It also imposed a fine of $10,000 on TP Mazembe for security failure during the match in question.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. In African boxing, Uganda's Commonwealth Games bronze medalist Juma Miro is hoping to qualify for next year's Tokyo Olympics. The 25-year-old Miro spoke recently with Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to their conversation. It begins with Magume asking Juma, when did you start boxing?
I started boxing when I was 5 years old. Yeah, with my dad. My dad was called Ibrahim Juma. He was a boxer too, but by then, when they gave birth to me, then he had to leave boxing. Then he turned into a coach. So he coached only for 7 years. Then he stopped. With my brother, was also born Fazil Juma. He's also a Commonwealth bronze medalist, 2014. Then later on, we joined East Coast. My grandfather started the club. It's called Hussein Khalil. And Hussein Khalil is a gold medalist in the Commonwealth, in the same games, Commonwealth Games, 1982, in Brisbane, Australia. Yeah.
You started at an early age, at 5. And that was because basically you saw your father box and you loved it. Yeah. How was life for you as a young boxer, as someone growing up in a boxing family?
Okay, my father did boxing and he was pushing us also to do boxing but for us, we were interested in other sports like cricket, because we even tried the sports, tennis, football, but yet boxing was in our blood, so we decided to go with boxing because boxing was more easier. So it was fun, and a smooth journey for us. Mm.
What was your first competition, and how old were you, and how did you perform at that?
Yeah, I remember very well. I was 9 years old.
Wow. And
yeah, then my first competition was with my young brother. He was 5 years. 5 years, yeah. So we were doing it like sparring at home, because we were the best among the boys. So we were the one entertaining people around. All the fights were getting draw, yeah.
Fast forward, then you eventually qualified for the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games, where you won bronze for Uganda. Tell us about your experience there at the Commonwealth.
Yeah, before going for the Commonwealth Games, it was tough here in my country because we had a lot of trials. Of course, they had only managed to take 5 boxers, and we were 9 boxers. Then they told us, now you boxers, you're very many, and we can't choose because you're all good. So we will go to Tanzania, then we see those people who perform well. Those are the people who will go for the Commonwealth. Then we had to go to Tanzania, then I had to fight. But my first fight was knockout. My second fight also...
You knocked someone out, yes. Or you were knocked?
No, I knocked someone. Yeah, then my second fight also, in the second round, I also knocked someone out. Then third round, because, of course, I was using a lot of power and speed, so I had to injure my hand. Then finals, I couldn't punch, so I was just moving around, like, defending myself from my opponent. Then I had to get silver. But lucky, I was selected among the team that were going for the Commonwealth Games. I went and saw the people who came on my weight, and I saw the African number one and the third, the one who holds the third position in Africa. Then I was a bit scared. Then I said, then my coach told me, no, you don't have to be scared. Then I said, okay, coach. Then I had to win the fight against the Kenyan, Shafi. Then the next fight was with the Indian guy. But the Indian guy was not so good, but because of the injury I had, and the first fight was too tough for me, because power to see that I take the fight, because that fight was qualifying, it was taking me to the middle bracket. Yeah, it was tough. That's where I was granted for the bronze.
When we received you guys, you guys were driving on top of those vans,
yeah.
People with a big crowd receiving you. How was it like you coming back and seeing this crowd of Ugandans, for the big convoy from Entebbe to Kampala?
I didn't expect that, because I was feeling even sad, because I saw many countries taking like 100 medals and 80 medals, 30 medals. So Uganda, we had only 6 medals. So I was like, this is going to feel shame back home. We came with a small, but I was happy that at least I saved the boxers. Yeah. But when I reached Entebbe, that's when I saw that if you do well, then they welcome you in a special way. By the way, that thing also motivates others to work hard so that they also be treated the same.
Talking about your boxing experience, recently, actually, for the African qualifiers, you actually were fraud. You lost your fight,
yes.
And you couldn't participate in the qualifiers.
Yeah.
It must have been a big setback. What have you done to overcome that and keep your hopes alive?
Okay, I felt bad before, like, not representing the country in the African champion again. I was supposed to defend my position, but of course I had injury and I kept quiet. That's why I learned, if you have injury, you have to rest. So I forced myself to go and fight. My first fight, I won the fight. Then the second one, it was a pressure because the other boy was lucky. He knocked me down. Then he had to go to the next level. Then, but of course he didn't qualify to go and represent the country where he lost. Then I had to rest for 1 year without competing and just getting treatment for my shoulder. But now at least I'm fine and I'm training hard to see that at least I can go and represent the country at the World Championship and qualify also for the Olympics.
There's a lockdown, you don't have to go to different gyms, there are very few people coming. How are you able to train?
In this lockdown, it's very hard because all the gyms are closed, and at least I'm lucky, I have a friend who is called Musa. He was a kickboxer, I think, like 30 years back. because he retired. So he has a gym at his place. So I usually come here and hit the bag, and also he helped me with some techniques. And when I go back in the evening at home, because this one I do it in the morning. So in the evening, my grandfather Hussein Khalil also holds for me parts, because now we are not allowed in the gyms.
I know you come from a family of boxers. Hussein Khalil, your grandfather, your brother, your dad. But whom would you say, both locally and internationally, is your hero, someone you're looking to for inspiration?
I've seen so many boxers in my life, and I've seen, like, their backgrounds and where they came from, but at least I want to be like Manny Pacquiao internationally. And here, back home, I want to be like Sherif Bogere. Yeah, because those are my two boxers that I admire in life here.
Now that we know that the Olympics are for certain for next year, what should we expect from you? What are your goals for the next Tokyo Olympics?
I have to first go for the Olympic qualifiers in France, but I'm ready. I've been training, and I'm ready even now to go for it because I've trained well. They have given me everything. I'm well prepared. So when I go for the qualifiers, I'll qualify. Because I know where I'm going, because I've been following up the thing, and I know all the boxers who are coming, they all came to qualify. So I also train to see that at least I be in the international level, because everyone who is there is well prepared. So I've trained enough. I'm just waiting for the day to go and qualify. Then I go represent Uganda, and at least this time I bring gold medal to my country.
Before we end the interview, tell us, for young people who will be listening, those who are younger than you, who will be listening to this interview, what's your advice to them, those that are coming up? Because, you know, Africa sometimes, in Africa and Uganda in particular, sometimes people think boxing is really not a good game. The parents will not encourage a kid to go for boxing. You are lucky that your parents were boxers.
Yeah.
What's your message to those kids, and what's your message to their parents?
You know, these days, if you're a boxer, stay and box. Just be focused on your goals and chase your dream. Please, our parents, mothers and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, boxing is not a bad game. Boxing is just a game. But if you take your boy or like your son or your daughter to play boxing, make sure you follow up to see that your son or daughter is in the right hand, like doing the right thing. At least we can see like good example, like we saw people coming from streets like Manny Pacquiao, and we saw people like Mayweather. So many people like international, they come from down, but when they reach up there, they change their lives. Boxing can change someone's life.
That's Ugandan boxer Juma Miro, a bronze medalist at the 2018 Commonwealth Games in Australia. And Juma was talking with Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Bradley, who is celebrating his 77th birthday on this Tuesday. Like Jim Ryan, Bradley turned to politics when his athletic career ended, and he served three terms as a Democratic senator from New Jersey. A bronze statue of Bill Bradley dribbling a basketball is on the campus of Princeton University, where he went to school. Coincidentally, Bill Bradley shares a birthday with Manu Ginobili, who is celebrating his 43rd birthday. Bradley and Ginobili also share some very rare basketball accolades. They are the only two players to have won a EuroLeague title, a NBA championship, and an Olympic gold medal. Happy birthday, Bill Bradley and Manu Ginobili. And that wraps up the July 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.